technical mistakes. Maybe Uthman Affan did this. Maybe Abu Bakr Siddiq did this and Zaid did this.
Yeah.
Maybe the Sahabas later on burnt something or less. Blah, 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 blah. Could be anything. And this is the first ayah which says that, you know what, this book, there's a promise of Allah. Anyone else, anyone, even if they try their best, they cannot fiddle with this book because the promise of it, if being the completeness and the perfection of that very message is in this book.
Yeah.
So this is the first fitan that we already are seeing now. We already have.
And this, it, even the Quran begins with almost the same ayah, Surah Baqarah.
Yeah.
Like Dhalika Kitabu La Raiba Fi. There's no doubt about this book.
So this
and
actually shows us
no deviance.
Yeah. This is a clear declaration that one of the many fitan of Ad-Dajjal is against the very concept of Quran's perfection and completion. And invariability, that there are no versions of the Quran and there's no tampering or fabrication in any sorts in the context or in the dialect or in the meaning or in the sequence or in the stress. Stress is where Allah Ta'ala has put the stress on a certain word or in the phrasing. There's so many levels of balagha that, you know, we'll have to go through that. So this is going to be the star of the biggest fitan, that there are wrong angles and right angles.
Yeah.
There are wrong levels and right levels. There are more important levels and there are less important levels. There's no such thing like that in the Quran. Quran is as complete from whatever angle you look at. Yeah. It's as correct from whatever angle you look at, because there are schools right now opening inside the Islamic Ummah that are actually talking about, of course, there are Muslims by any meaning, but they represent Muslims, and then they put, for example, the Qadianis. They put the meaning of the new prophethood from the Quran, and now there's a lot of tahrimi ayahs which are taken from the Quran, and then, you know, they just, you know, they take the meaning off, so on and so forth. Then there, of course, will come a time and there will be a lot of things proven from the Quran that there is a son of God. There is a very clear indicator in these ayahs that the concept of Ad-Dajjal will be, in a lot of ways, very verifiable by the Quranic psychology of that time. That's the kind of psychology we'll be moving towards, and that's where the first strike is blown.
Well, I'll just quote a little story here. Like, I was having a debate once with a Christian in England. So it was a Muslim Christian debate. And there was a random guy who just walked in. I don't really remember, but he asked me to open the Quran. And in the Arabic text, he went to a certain point and he says, "You see this? This shows that God has a son. And you Muslims have it right in front of your eyes, but you don't believe this."
Oh my God.
I really don't remember what he said, but it was like Mahdi wal Ahdi. There was a word of Mahad, the grave. From that, he took out the meaning of Mahdi, and from there, he linked it to something in the Surah Maryam, and he said that this is right here in front of you, but you guys can't understand.
Yeah.
So probably this might go to a bigger level.
Or the concept of Ar-Ruh, which were asked by the Jews, by the way. Yeah. Because when Allah says Ruh Allah for Isa, that's a big confusion. Muslims have. Why is Allah calling Isa as Ruh Allah? And not claiming that he is Allah at the same time, which is going to be a door opener for a lot of people who want fitan in Muslims, who are deviants themselves, and who are practically the cause of the biggest evil that is ever going to come upon us. Because Ruh Allah is the word that they actually ask as well, Ruh. So this could very well be, because that's what I used to think whenever I used to think of Surah Kahf first, and I was like, where is this concept coming from? Of verse, the first 10 ayah. What are they? What is the concept that these first 10 ayah are countering? And the first thing that comes into is your mind is the completion of the Quran. And right, the next third ayah is about the Son of God. And the Son of God concept, even though it is blatantly refuted in so many ayahs, but the concept of Ruh is very, very complicated. And people do talk about that. There are actually so many religions on Ruh, and there's so many philosophies on Ruh that Muslims will end up, you know, falling prey to so many of that sort of philosophical errors, that there could be a problem in the Muslim ranks. That yes, Isa is not an actual son, but maybe a spiritual son, or the son in spirit, or the son in light, or whatever. I don't know, but because you never know what kind of introspective, you know, errors human beings can make. But these three ayahs really open that shine that light towards what is about to happen in the time of Dajjal.
Okay, so they have no knowledge about this, nor did their forefathers. It is a monstrous assertion that comes out of their mouths. What they say is nothing but lies.
There you go. Now, this is a problem here. See, forefather is a key word here.
Yeah.
Because that literally shows that Dajjal is going to be first befriending the Christians. Because Jews' forefathers never actually said that there's a son of God. You have to understand, Christians' forefathers...
Yeah.
Are the only forefathers who came up with this concept.
Yeah.
So that's the real problem. And that's the foresight of the Quran telling us of what the Dajjal is going to do. Well, Al-Alam, of course, is one way of looking at it. That he is going to come as Isa alayhi salam, and he is going to have all of their forefathers backing him up. Mm. And he is naturally going to be called the Son of God. And this is why he's going to be counter to the first 10 ayahs. So why would he come as Isa alayhi salam? We have the hadith which literally shows us that Dajjal is going to mimic and mirror Isa alayhi salam. The Prophet alayhi salam had a dream, and then of course during the journey of Miraj as well. The journey of Miraj, Surah Bani Israel again.
Yeah.
The first thing Prophet alayhi salam says is, where is this guy standing in the Kaaba? And Jibreel Amin says, this curly guy is a Dajjal. So the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ sees in the journey of Miraj is a Dajjal. So he's sitting in the, standing in the Kaaba. So of course...
Was it the dream where he's like walking behind?
No, no, that's not, that's a separate dream altogether.
Okay.
That's a totally different dream. That's the dream of Prophet ﷺ looking at Isa a.s. doing the Tawaf of Kaaba.
And then exactly
and
the
then
same
right
person.
Behind Isa a.s. is a Dajjal doing exactly what Isa is doing, because he's leaning on the shoulders of two men, and two men are literally carrying him towards the Tawaf, and the Dajjal is also doing that.
Right,
so that
him
he's doing the Tawaf.
Two men doing
yeah,
the Tawaf.
Doing the Tawaf.
Okay, so that's one dream, and then there's another sight, which
this,
is
this
in
is
real,
a sight in the
Miraj.
The Miraj, yeah, the story of Miraj. So the real question is, what does that got to do with Isa al-Islam? Well, Isa al-Islam is in the dream, and he's mirroring Isa al-Islam. And then there's another hadith that your Lord is one, not one-eyed. They're the only religion that calls their prophet Lord is the Christians.
Yeah.
So that also is another hint, very clear hint. It's not just a hint, it's literally a full tale that the Dajjal has way more probability of coming as Christians, as Isa al-Islam for the Christians. And he will have about 4 billion people following him right there. Because they're already waiting for him.
Yeah.
And in the book of Revelations and the book of Matthews and also book of... in the book of Revelation, there are so much stories about how the Antichrist will be recognized as Antichrist. Mm. Even though he will have the kingdom, but all of a sudden he's just going to come in and declare incest as an allowable sin. And that's the first sign of Antichrist. Which means that if you read the book of Revelations, I'm talking about the King James Version right now. Actually, it's in all of the three versions, because this verse is unanimously agreed upon, that he's going to allow the original sin, which means which Adam's son, and we could have had a possibility of incest at that time, because there are only two possibilities of because everyone was a son, the brother and sister of each other, literally from the same father, mother. Yeah. So that was technically incest. So that's what they actually call that. You know, he's going to use the same logic, and he's going to allow the original sin. Original sin means he's going to allow incest. So a brother can marry a sister, and a father can marry a daughter, and a mother can marry a son. And as soon as he's going to declare that, the Christian community is going to declare him as an antichrist. And that is the first unveiling of the antichrist. Even though he will be given that kingdom, he will be inside the third temple, he will be the throne bearer of the world at that time. So that's the time when a faction of Christians will pick a fight and go to, you know, turn to swords and go to the battle against the antichrist. And that's something which the book of Revelation says could be true on all accounts. I have no complaints or, and, you know, there's no technical error in there. However, the very fact that Quran actually refutes the concept of Christianity in Surah Kahf, which means that that's way bigger of a confusion Christians are going to be going through. And the biggest turmoil for Muslims is not about just Dajjal. It is the army of Dajjal, which is all the Christians of the world. And that is which we cannot convince them out of, because that then they will have miracles. Yeah. Then they will have actual proof that their God is God, that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All of those Christians will have a field day on the Muslims and even the Jews, that, you know, you actually called us, that, you know, look at our Jesus, look at him bringing people from the dead, look like, at him actually claiming God.
Like in us Muslims, although we do have certain factions among Muslims who still believes in the miracles done by different sort of saints or saintly figures, but Christians, they genuinely, all of them, believe in miracles done by their popes and their fathers.
That's true.
Things like this.
That's true. But they don't claim to be son or God or God.
They don't, yeah. But Christians, but they do. Can believe that by humans, even a human can do miracles and it becomes something big for them.
Literally. Yeah. However, the real point here that people should understand, since we are doing Surah Kahf here, we better understand that the landscape right now has a 4 billion population, which is half the world, which actually believes that there is a guy who is a son of God, who brings people back from the dead, who makes it rain, who makes dead, barren land bear fruit, who gives light to the born blind, and so on and so forth. All of a sudden, there'll come a guy who's going to literally start doing that.
Yeah.
Lo and behold,
there
everyone
were
else
the things
is,
that were done by Jesus at his time, right?
There will be literally those things, but we don't know what kind of account Jesus actually had. Yeah. So we will have to see what the Dajjal is going to be doing.
Yeah.
But that's not the problem. The problem is Isa al-Islam never claimed to be son of God, right? Or God. But that's, Quran is the only book which says that. 4 billion people do not believe in that book. 4 billion people believe that that man claimed to be God and is claiming to be son of God. So Dajjal is going to claim that initially, so that the 4 billion people will literally have a blind submission upon him. Not just that, but renewal of their faith.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They will have the biggest possible proof that any religion, any human, any individual would need to actually reaffirm his faith. And that's why I'm saying that's a very big Easter they're going to be celebrating.
And we are already like heavily influenced by everything that comes from the West. And I think by that time when he comes, we're going to be bombarded through our media.
Oh my God,
this
not
is
just
the
that,
man, that's the truth.
Well, that's a good this way of like, looking at it. The bad way of looking at it is that we will be massacred brutally by the Christians.
If we don't
at
accept
that.
Yeah,
and we will be. We will be. And that's why I've said the first two ayahs are to be really noticed, because Quran, first and foremost, as soon as the Dajjal is going to convince the Christians, he naturally has to convince the rest of the 3 billion people, right? And that's Muslims. So how is he going to prove that? He is going to put that concept of imperfection in the Quran, and the word Ruhullah will become a totally different meaning.
Wow.
And that's where the Muslim scholars are going to have, a lot of Muslim scholars are going to give bayah to the Dajjal that yes, since they will be looking and overwhelmed by miracles, you know, and they'll be looking at like Isa al-Islam, acting like Isa al-Islam. He's the correct, most pious, most giving, most compassionate man. And then he's telling you what the real meaning of the Ruhullah actually means. And he's naturally going to come with a middle ground between the being the son of God or just God and so on and so forth. Yeah. And then
when we have already so many scholars that are always justifying concepts of big, huge saints like Ghaus-e-Pak and
so,
a lot
of
things. Yeah. So that's going to be a real Ghaus-e-Pak, you know, right in front of you. Here we're like justifying all the time a dead Ghaus-e-Pak.
The karama, the karamas of the awliya. Yeah, but that's again, That's too small of a matter, because this guy will be doing a little stuff for the whole globe, and this is something which we all should know of what Surah Kahf is trying to do. I'm just talking about the first three ayahs, and it opened such a big door, because it addresses about 7 billion people already, and since Jews are the smallest religion right now, it doesn't really matter whether they believe in this or not. Yeah. Right now, what matters for us is what Christians believe in, because that's the biggest problem we're going to have from. We cannot even live up to how to actually resist the American policy or the NATO policy or whatever policy. You think we're going to be able to live against the right wingers at that time of the planet? No, I don't think so. This is going to be a big problem. And we will have to submit either for the sake of our livelihood or for the sake of our life, literally, or for the sake of our of whatever kind of religion at that time we would have. And we will be submitting to Ad-Dajjal. Even if those believers think that he's not Isa al-Islam, they will have that sort of a leverage that Islam does allow for the sake of our saving our lives to submit to him.
And the fear of life.
For the fear of life.
Quran mentions it. Yeah. You can say Kalima
al-Baqarah
to save your life.
So we will have two or maybe three factions.
So we might have fatwas coming from all the ulama that just say the Kalima al-Kufr, submit to him because you're allowed to do so.
Because he's going to kill you right there. Or you will be killed right there.
SubhanAllah. And we don't have, we haven't been given any training of the way of Azimah.
Like,
we have only
even though there
given,
are way more accounts of Sahaba putting themselves to death.
Yeah.
There's only one account of Ammar bin Yasir.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And there's Sahel Khubab, they were lynching him alive. And,
SubhanAllah.
This is something which we better understand. And the farther we go from the Prophet, the lesser we're going to be able to withstand, those problems which come in the way of us and our iman. And this is why the problem is, it's just the first three ayahs reveal so much light upon why Muslims will be submitting to Ad-Dajjal by hook or by crook.
Okay, so then perhaps you would kill yourself through grief over them, O Muhammad, if they do not believe in the message and out of sorrow.
Yeah.
Indeed, we have
This is something which is okay in another sign. Because the Prophet ﷺ, we have to understand the Prophet ﷺ, the compassion of the Prophet ﷺ is that he was worried so much that why are these people not listening to such a, bayyana? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, don't put that as such a big burden on yourself. And you will, your grief is not something which is called for right now, because whoever is going to come into iman is the decision of Allah, the decree of Allah. And so this is something which is it's a deeper meaning in that time that we might have to. God forbid, it makes me cry because I'm talking about my son here, my daughter, my wives and kids, and there will be times, and most of us will go through that. Maybe we will be those people who, for which our folks are going to go through for the fact that our daughters and sons are going to be running towards Ad-Dajjal. And this is something which we might have to just give them up. And this is something which is this ayah literally showing us that your grief is something which is real, but it's not going to do anything. Whoever is decreed as, a person of Ashabul Jannah is Ashabul Jannah, and Ashabun Nar is seen just only for Allah. So this ayah actually gives us.
You can only do so much.
Yeah, and this ayah tells us that our loved ones are going to be literally running towards the Dajjal right in front of us, and we won't be able to help them. And there will be more people who are going towards him than we can expect.
Okay, the topic now changes here.
Literally.
We have adorned the earth with attractive things so that we may test people to find out which of them do best.
I think we should read that a bit.
And indeed, okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu 'amala.
There you go. Now this is the word which does not actually say ad-dunya. It just says al-ard. Make sure you understand that.
Okay.
So at that time, We're going to go into detail in the next episodes. We'll just give you a little preview. The Dajjal is not going to be using resources of just of this earth.
Okay.
That's where the bigger problem is going to happen, because he's going to be producing some stuff which is unseen. And that is placed in some other parts. Mm. And that's also called Al-Ard. And yeah, that is something which is going to create a way bigger fitan for the people. That where is he coming up with this, these sort of creatures and these? Because his donkey, he's not from this planet.
Yeah.
But it is from Ard.
Yeah. Right? So the horse of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mi'raj, yeah, we didn't even discuss that. He was also not from Earth.
Oh, of course not. We did discuss that a little, but yeah, we were going to discuss that inside.
Okay, so it means we always have to keep a very, very broader perspective of the word Al-Ard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't have to limit it to this Earth.
Yeah, we can't.
Okay.
Ard means all the terrestrial planes of all the planets in all the heavens.
Yeah.
For example, that Isa is in on Ard right now, but not in Dunya.
Yeah.
Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says dunya, he specifically means this planet Earth.
Okay.
Muzayyana sama'a dunya in Surah Mulk.
Yeah.
Is the sky of our planet.
Okay, yeah.
You have to understand that.
Yes.
Muzayyana sama'a dunya.
Yeah.
Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana.
Yeah.
Human beings are told that, you know, the life on this planet.
Dunya. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's in even in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah says there's seven earths and seven skies.
Oh no, that's Al-Talaq.
Yeah, Surah Talaq. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
So even there we have Ard.
Yeah, but that's
a lot of Ard.
Ard, a lot of Ard. That's where we actually pick it up from.
Okay, that's a very, very strong actually evidence.
Yeah,
that the Ard is Ard.
Ard means
lots of
all
Ard
the,
can be.
Oh, and the biggest argument is the biggest argument
number
is
of
even
Ard,
even yeah, more than that. In that, an intellectual level, you have to understand that Adam alayhi salam was created from earth, Ard.
Yeah.
But we all know that Adam alayhi salam was not created in this planet.
Yeah.
He came to this planet later on.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to understand that.
Yeah.
So it's not like Adam was created here and then taken to heaven and then brought back. This is not what the account of the Quran is.
Yeah.
He was created from the earth of somewhere else.
Yeah.
And Surah Al-Hijr, we can find out of what kind of clay that actually was.
Yeah.
And that's the same clay that is mentioned in Surah Kahf. That is
By the way, there is a scientific research. I read it a few years before. They said that everything, all the elements or things that exist on this planet Earth, when they are tested like through different ways in the labs, they can show their origin being belonging to Earth. But just like iron does not belong to Earth,
star element.
So similarly, humankind does not belong to Earth. That is now even a scientific study.
Yeah, that's true. And that also is in the Quran of when Adam alayhi salam was created. And the word ham, which is used for the clay, which was used to create Adam alayhi salam, is a totally different kind of clay. That's a totally different clay, which Surah Rahman talks about, of how, you know, human beings are created, or the clay of hell and the clay of heaven. And then we have to understand that, you know, there are totally different places where there is that kind of clay. We also have a lot of clay in this planet. That's not something which we should confuse as the only clay in the universe.
Hmm.
Okay, so when this ayah says, you know, that there are so many things on Ard, that you have to understand that when the Dajjal is going to come up with stuff, you should understand that it is still.
But I think I feel like in this ayah, it's talking about this Ard. Why? Because it says that we have adorned the earth with attractive things so that we may test people to find out which of them.
That's literally, actually, exact meaning of why I take it that it's not going to be from this earth.
Okay, but
Test is of these people, but the things are from other planets.
Oh, okay, we are talking about in the context of the Dajjal.
The Dajjal is going to bring about some stuff which is going to be a big test for these people of how can these.
Not just the Dajjal, like we have so many things that are going to be coming to this dunya.
We'll talk about that in later verses.
So many different creatures which are
like
not from here.
Dabatul Ard. It's still Ard, but it's not going to come from this planet.
Yeah.
Because this planet animals don't speak.
Yeah.
That is an animal which is going to speak.
Yeah.
And it is also going to come from somewhere else on this planet.
And how he comes to this planet again can be a portal, can be anything.
Well, it is a portal, and because then, at that time all portals are open.
Then we have Ya'juj, Ma'juj.
Also from some other planet.
They don't belong
to. Or some other portal, or some other dimension.
Yeah.
So and, these are all...
then the birds who are going to carry their dead bodies.
Again. Yeah. Or also the birds who came from Ashab al-Fil.
Ashab al-Fil, yeah.
Those are
the
birds who people never saw, and people never saw again.
Yeah.
So, and whatever they did not do something which happened scientifically on anything.
On this
not
earth.
Just on this, with the thing, the weapon that they used. Also, whatever happened to their body was not normal under the laws of physics that happens to things, because they decayed in matter of seconds.
Subhanallah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So they didn't just throw stones.
Yeah, there was something else.
They threw something with the stones, some chemical.
Or maybe
something.
That is a regular stone in some planet where they come from.
Wow, which has a different chemical composition.
Totally different. And our bodies cannot adhere to that sort of chemistry.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something which...
Well, now this is Surah Fil. All Muslims read this in every prayer.
Yeah.
But we never thought about it like this.
Yeah, so
seriously,
that's...
I never thought about it like this. Subhanallah.
So that's an elephant we're talking about. You know, it takes a lot of years before an elephant
becomes... And they were the people of elephant. Like, they had an army of elephants.
Yeah.
Who were crushed within a very little time.
Seconds.
And then they even decayed.
Right there, they decayed right in front of them. Everybody saw them getting decayed.
Yeah.
So Abdul Muttalib saw the elephants getting decayed. Abdul Muttalib cannot be seeing that all of that decay, because it takes years for an elephant to decay.
Yeah. So probably it was not just a miracle of birds throwing stones, but probably what followed. It was a
Both
bigger
of
miracle for the people
Both
of Makkah at that time.
Well, I think they actually... didn't really, you know, pay heed to how
miracle.
These birds came
like,
in.
It's,
yeah.
It's Allah's house, so he did whatever
he personally
could.
For Abdul Muttalib, I actually think that he knew all of that, because the kind of dreams he saw before the... I think he saw, he could tell a lot more.
Yeah. In the seerah,
a lot
we
of
do
things,
see this.
A lot of things, a lot of weird things happened to Abdul Muttalib. And so I think he had a... because, you know, it's not a regular statement you make to a guy that, you know, just give me back my camels. I leave the Kaaba to the Lord of Kaaba.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not a regular statement. This guy has seen a lot of weird things, and we just don't know it. And so I don't know why we settle, or how we settle Abdul Muttalib's psychology and his life, and you know, because, you know, Abi Zamzam, the story of Abdullah, all of these things were really
extraordinary.
Extraordinary. They're weirdly extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I'm probably using the word weird because strange. He lived a very strange, a lot of strange happenings happened to Abdul Muttalib. So, okay, you know, even if he did, those people didn't really, you know, they took it a little superstitiously, and they said that, you know, Allah sent his special birds as a certain punishment to Abraha. But we know that, you know, that's as weird as it gets.
Subhanallah. Okay. Then the next ayah.
But the reminiscence is very clear. The same kind of portal is going to open to send different kind of birds. Which are going to carry Ya'juj and Ma'juj.
Yeah.
All of a sudden the sky is going to fill up with those birds. And, you know, because Ya'juj and Ma'juj are going to be in billions.
Yeah. Subhanallah. Wow. Okay, and indeed we will make that which is upon it into a barren ground.
Yeah.
Okay, now the story starts. Or, I've lost track. Okay. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Prophet, do you find the companions in the cave and Al-Raqim so wondrous among all our other signs? When the young men sought refuge in cave and said, Our Lord, grant us your mercy and find us a good way out of your ordeal.
This is, I think, okay, let's just finish this, because you're at number 8 right now?
Number 10. This one was number 10.
Okay. So, this is a... let's just finish the first chapter of the first 10 verses. Okay. We're going to go into Surah Kahf in detail.
Okay.
But the first 10 verses have this story started for Ashab-e Kahf now.
Yeah.
Now, see, this is some of... One of the biggest help that we could get from Surah Kahf, that the Surah's name is called Kahf.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a cave. And that's a story of certain people who are fleeing. And when the Prophet ﷺ said, when you see a Dajjal, just flee. For you cannot fight or kill him. And that's exactly what happened to the people of the cave. They could not fight or kill that tyrant. So what they did was they fled. And this is a very big indicator of what we should be doing. Hmm. When the Dajjal is going to come, we should be fleeing, just like Ashab-e Kahf. So in other words, figuratively speaking, they had the Dajjal of their time, and then they fled into a cave. And that cave turned out to be a time travel. You know, so I think this is pretty much a clue as to what we are going to be, or we should be doing. And those people will be the people of the cave, who are going to be running towards mountains and fleeing and trying to hide and wither out the period of Ad-Dajjal. Because believers will not have any other choice but to wither the period of Ad-Dajjal.
Okay, so ayah number 9 and 10.
Yeah.
It just mentions...
Mentions a little story about the Dajjal of a time, not literally, but you know, a tyrant king, and people cannot fight him, so they're fleeing, and they're fleeing towards a cave, and that mountain has a cave, and that cave actually makes them wither that tyrant through time.
Yeah.
So that's what the instruction to all Muslims is. When you find the Dajjal, flee. Towards where? Mountains.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So those people will be at the level of the people of the cave, who are going to find the Dajjal and still would be believers. And instead of fighting or doing something or giving bayah, they will flee towards the mountains. And the Surah Kahf might just be able to convert that into a way for them to wither at the Dajjal's time period. However, it's going to do that. We're going to cover that later on through the story of Zulkarnain and Musa alayhi salam. The very concepts that actually they are given in. So this is the first 10 ayahs. So I think we should...
Take a break here.
Yeah, should take a break for the 10 ayahs, so because we can pick up a lot of speed in from the 11th ayah to the 30th ayah. And then that's going to be all about the surah, the people of the cave.
Okay, inshallah. So inshallah, we'll see you in our next episode. Inshallah. Which will start from the ayah number 11 of Surah Al-Kahf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.